another bank at the trough.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Citigroup tentacles are everywhere. More than 100 countries, trillions of dollars in deposits and assets. But the financial crisis has put a lot of those assets in doubt, and here comes the Fed to deal with the fallout. The government says it'll take on hundreds of billions of dollars in troubled asset losses in exchange for a chance to buy premium shares in the company. Mark Zandi is chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com. Mark, another financial institution in government hands. Is this the end of the free market system as we know it?
No, but it's certainly a big government intervention in the marketplace to try to shore up the market. And I think it's absolutely necessary and a good move by the government.
Let's talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of this plan with the U.S. government. $300 billion covered by the U.S. government. Is that going to be enough? Do you think there's going to be more down the road?
Well, I think at Citigroup, they were pretty careful in walling off their very bad assets, the bad residential mortgage loans, commercial mortgage-backed securities, other bad corporate loans. I'm pretty sure they got all of the bad assets into this one bad bank, so to speak, and that's what the government's guaranteeing. So I think in the case of Citigroup, they probably got it.
What kind of money are we talking about in this bailout?
Well, it really does depend on how badly these assets perform. Citigroup had to put up a chunk of money as well that will go first as these losses accumulate on these bad assets. And only after that is exhausted will the government's guarantees start to kick in. So we'll have to see. It really does depend on how bad the economy is, how long the economy struggles, and how that undermines these assets.
Do you see other banks headed in this direction?
There will be more failures, yeah. I do think, though, that the biggest failures are largely behind us, if not completely behind us. I can't think of another big institution that is as fragile. And, of course, probably would have said the same thing a couple, 3 weeks ago, but all the weak links in the system are being wrung out. And while there will be more failures, I think there will be smaller ones.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
European markets seem to like the Citigroup deal. Markets in Europe are up by an average of 4%. Asian stocks traded lower, an average of 2%. The Dow ended the week with a big rally, but the market was down overall last week, 5%. NASDAQ and S&P had even bigger losses. Today, President-elect Obama announces who will head up his economic team. New York Fed Chief Tim Geithner has reportedly been tapped for Treasury Secretary. Former Treasury head Larry Summers will go to the National Economic Council, and New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson is likely to get the nod as Commerce Secretary. While we keep hearing about layoffs or hours and benefits cut, it's hard to imagine an uptick in one big labor statistic. Part-time jobs are on the rise, and it's a bellwether of a sour economy, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics says 6.1 million Americans are stuck in part-time jobs, even though they would prefer full-time work. That's a 30% increase from a year earlier. Former Labor Department economist Harry Holzer says underemployed people mask the real rate of joblessness.
This is one of the categories that we often call the hidden unemployed. That really means that the official numbers aren't telling you how bad things are getting.
Holzer says official unemployment numbers also don't count those who've given up looking for work. But Michael Irwin, a career advisor for CareerBuilder.com, says part-time work is at least a foot in the door.
When the economy swings the other way, you're really going to take a look at employees who did everything they could after they were laid off or after they were let go. So I think it's an important time to make sure that you're still putting something on your resume.
Economist Holzer says underemployed workers are a wasted economic resource. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Today, there are some items up for grabs at Christie's that you wouldn't think could possibly come out of Christie's. Punk rock memorabilia, posters from The Clash, T-shirts featuring the Sex Pistols, It's a way to market the auction house to a new generation of collectors. From New York, Diantha Parker reports.
Christie's Punk Sale is aimed at a younger collector, says curator Simeon Lippman, a collector who's excited by a rare, hand-drawn flyer for a groundbreaking 1976 concert in London.
And it's the Sex Pistols, the Clash, and the Buzzcocks, which are, you know, like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Joe DiMaggio of the punk movement. We have this piece estimated at $3,000
to $4,000. But many of the pieces are priced much lower, in the $300 to $800 range. Much of this is ephemera that's never been sold before. It's been saved by musicians, fans, and friends for almost 30 years. 30 is a magic number, in a way. It's an age at which things often become collectible, and when people start to have a little extra money. They're the new blood Christie's needs. It wants to expand its offerings and its clientele. Marion Maneker is the editor of Art Market Monitor.
One of the things the auction house has been very good at is about educating people to bring them into collecting categories.
Both Christie's and Sotheby's have been reaching out to younger buyers with hipper auctions centered on fashion and design. They promote these sales with lectures, book signings, and cocktail parties. Ed Kaczynski is a collector and a dealer. He's going to the Christie's sale himself and showed the catalog to a few newbies. He says one saw a Clash poster.
And right away he started thinking about when he saw the Clash at the Ritz in New York City, and that's the whole thing about collecting it. You know, it triggers a passion and a connection. And, you know, the more people get exposed to this, the more collectors there's going to be.
That's what Christie's hopes, anyway. In New York, I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls.
This is Los Angeles Calling. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.